We are continuing the book of Yonah. We're holding in what's called the second chapter, and we're in the middle of Yonah's prayer. We'll dedicate our learning to Pnina Bat Shmuel. Yonah had been praying. We were discussing that he was really being eaten away by the acid. And this is a good time to mention that it's not so clear that the story ever really happened. This is a vision of prophecy. It's a recounting of a vision of prophecy. And there are opinions that this whole story is a message to the Jewish people, and that Yonah was not a person, but rather a dove. Yonah in Hebrew is a dove. And the Gra learns that this whole story is really an allegory about the soul that comes down to earth, and what its job is, and the trials and tribulations, and how it gets attracted to certain things that are dangerous to it. Bezrat Hashem, one year we should learn the Gra and Yonah. But right now we're going with Pshat and the Midrashim, so we're going to continue reading it on the one hand on the simplistic level. On the other hand, we'll try to continue incorporating Midrashim and Rishonim to try and have a little bit of a deeper understanding. But, we are taking it literally. I mean, the Midrash seems to take it literally. The Midrash says he was his flesh, his hair, his nails, everything was destroyed by the acid inside the fish's stomach. So right now we're learning it literally. Yeah? Soon. We'll dedicate more learning. Okay? Remind me in a few minutes. We'll get to a new class. We'll dedicate that. Pasuk Dalet. Vatashlicheini mitzula bilvav yamim v'nahar yisoveveini. Yonah says, you sent me to the depths, and the heart of the seas, and I'm surrounded by the river. Kol mishbarecha vegalecha alai avaru. All your different waves passed over me. So, Yonah is there in the depths, and Yonah is recounting his past. Yonah says, you brought me up from the grave. Let's recall what we said last class. Who is Yonah? Yonah is that child that was brought back from the dead. Yonah is that child that Eliyahu brought back. And so Yonah says, you brought me back from the dead, and now you did an even greater miracle than when Eliyahu brought me back after, as a child, I died. And that is that here he is in the depths of the sea alive. We don't have mermaids, right? The best of my knowledge, right? We don't have mermaids. But Yonah is alive under the sea for 3 days and three nights. So Yonah says, the fact that I'm going to come out of this alive, that's an even greater miracle than when Eliyahu brought me back. Kol mishbarecha vegalecha anai avaru. All your waves have passed over me, and I'm down here, and I'm still alive to tell the tale. Vani amarti. Nigrashti mineged einecha, and I said I was divorced. I was chased away from before you. When I went down to Yafo, I thought you'll have nothing to do with me, God. I thought I'm going out of Eretz Yisrael. You'll have nothing to do with me. I'll run away, and I won't have prophecy, but I know that you had a different thought. You had a different plan for me. And I know that you plan on having me return to Israel and give me the prophecy again. And I will continue to see your holy place. And this is one of the messages of the book of Iyov, that don't think you can run away. God gave each person his responsibilities in this world, and a person can even say, well, I'll choose death, but I'm not going to do what God wants. And God says, I won't necessarily give you that option. And that's the message of Yonah. Yonah says, I chose death, and you didn't let me die. You kept me alive underwater. You kept me alive so that I'll do what you want. Afafuni mayim ad nefesh. I was surrounded by water till death. Tehom yisoveveni, the depths of the sea surrounds me. Suf chavush l'roshi, and I have opposite my head all the reeds at the bottom of the sea. So Yonah says, I see the fish is getting intertwined in the reeds, and it's as though I'm intertwined in the reeds at the bottom of the sea. Ordinarily, a person gets dies if he gets caught at the bottom of the sea in the reeds, and I'm okay. So, Yonah is describing how the fish hasn't been standing still, right? Fish has been traveling, going through the reeds, going underwater. Chazal tell us that God made a special miracle for Yonah when he was in the male fish. Every day, there's this huge fish called the Leviathan, the Leviathan. And that fish consumes big fish every day. And when Yonah was swallowed by the fish, so it was that fish is turned to be eaten by the Leviathan. So the fish says to Yonah, you know, I got to go to the Leviathan. I'm supposed to be consumed today. So Yonah says, I'll save you. And the Medrash goes through how Yonah saves the fish. And then he says, you owe me one. So the fish gives him a tour and shows him how all the water really is surrounds the world, and there are underwater passageways where you could see the depths of the world. He even takes him under the Holy of Holies through an underwater passageway where Yonah prays. Yonah says his prayer, he says, bring me to the holiest place on earth. Bring me under the Holy of Holies, and there I want to pray. So the Medrash says, a fascinating Medrash about how God made his eyes into like windows, and Yonah was watching. He said to the fish, take me out to the Yamsuf. I want to see where the Jews crossed the Yamsuf. So he gets this tour and he gets taken to the Yamsuf, and that's Suf Chavush Roshi. So that's the Medrash. We learned it. You could go online, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, the 10th chapter. We learned it a year or two ago. So it's there in the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar file. And it's also probably in our previous Yonah class. Last year, 2 years ago, we did the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar inside. So Yonah says, Lekitzvei Yarim Yaradti. I went down to the depths, the edges of the mountains. Ha'aretz b'richa v'adi le'olam. The earth and b'richim are the bolts. The bolts of the earth are in my way forever. I thought it's over. I'm never hitting dry land again. I thought I'm going to have to go out to sea and die there. And v'tal mishachat chayai Adonai Elohai. Hashem, my God, you brought me back up from the depths. You brought me back to life. And this rejuvenation is even greater than the rejuvenation he gave me when I was a kid. Chazal say that there are bolts to the earth, and part of the tour he saw that. Okay, we'll finish the prayer and then we'll move forward. Bitachef alai nafshi et Adonai zachalti. When my soul was bent over in pain, I remembered Hashem, and this is an important point. A lot of people suffer in their lives, and even then they don't remember Hashem. We discussed at the end of last class that one of the gifts Hashem gave us is the capacity to do tshuva even when we're spurned to do tshuva, when we're encouraged, so to speak, to do tshuva by the fact that we're suffering. And my prayer came to your holy place, and now we know the Medrash, but how he got there. So Yonah continues and says, Mishamerim avlei shav chasdam yazovu. Those who watch falsehood, the nations who pray to things that are worthless, should leave that faith. So one understanding here is that he's talking about the sailors. The sailors, after they see the miracle you did for me, they're going to convert. You not understood what would happen. But there's another understanding here. And that is that Yonah was talking Mishamrim Avlei Shav was the key sentence. Says the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel is going against Rashi and Chazal. He's giving a different shot in the pasuk. Rashi and Chazal tell us this was a reference to the sailors. Yonah, the Abarbanel says, this is where Yonah did tshuva. You want to know where's Yonah's tshuva? In this pasuk. Mishamrim Avlei Shav Chasdam Yazovu. And he's not talking about the sailors who took vows out of the storm, and they fulfilled their vows. That's the way all the commentaries other than the Abarbanel said. He says, no, not like that. And it's not the way Chazal said, the Medrash that Chazal said, that Chasdam Yazovu is the, Chasdam is a reference to the idols. He says, the simple understanding of the verse, he's not really arguing with the other Perushim, he's just saying the other commentaries, that what they said is Drush, it's Remez, but the simple understanding of the verse is not that. Everything Chazal said and Rashi said is on a different level. We know there are four levels to understanding every verse. Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. So the Rabbi Barbanel says, you want to know what pshat in the pasuk is? It's not the way Rashi said. What Rashi said is drush. It's not the way Chazal said. What they said is drush. It's not that what they said is fools, but what they said is on a deeper level. You want to understand pshat, what the pasuk is saying? It's like this. Yonah regretted running away from Hashem. This was the point. At this point, he regretted it, and he decided that he'll do what God wanted and go to Nineveh. And he said, Mishamrim avlei shav. The people who will watch in a fool's way. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the people of Nineveh. He had said, God's going to send me to Nineveh. They'll do tshuva. But you know what? They'll do tshuva and then they'll go back to their old ways. I know it's not going to last. Right now, God is going to take them to task. And they're going to make it away by the skin of their teeth because they'll do tshuva on the moment. But it won't be long-lasting tshuva. And if it's not long-lasting, so then what's the point? Why should they have the right to destroy the Jewish people? And now, Yonah says, nonetheless, if that's what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And he says, even though they're going to do a short-lived tshuva, and chasdam yazovu, they will leave their righteousness ultimately, mishamrim havlei shav. What they watch, the way they watch the mitzvahs, it's not really going to be true. It's not going to be long-lasting. Chasdam yazovu, they will ultimately leave their righteous ways. I know they'll return to their sinful ways. Nonetheless, v'ani v'kol todah ezbechalach, asher nadalti ashalema. I will go to Nineveh, and I will call out and do what you told me to do, because doing what you tell me to do, that's the best way of performing mitzvot. You remember we said, earlier we said, the key point of Yonah is, if God said so, I have to do it. I don't have to have second thoughts and say, well, maybe God really wants me to lead a happy life and I'd be better off if I worked on Shabbos. God will understand, you know, if God were here and we could have a conversation, God would agree with me that I should really do A, B, C, and D. No, God gave us 613 mitzvot. He gave us the oral tradition. He gave us guidance as to how we're supposed to know what he wants of us, and we shouldn't second guess him. A person says, it's one of the standard claims you hear people say, my only day off is Shabbos. I have an old mother in an old age home. You mean I shouldn't go visit her on Shabbos because I have to drive? But God wants me to honor my parents. God also told you to keep Shabbos. So figure out a different time to honor your parents. You're right, you should visit them. Maybe bring them to you for Shabbos. That's not an excuse. Yonah says, I now recognize the kol todas v'chalach. When I admit, I do what you say, it's as though I bring the best sacrifice because I'm going to do asher nadalti asherem, I'll fulfill my vow. I'll do what you've asked of me. I will go and speak to the people of Nineveh. Yeshuata l'ashem. Yonah says, I know that the salvation is up to you. And if you want to save them, I can't stand in your way. I thought I'd run away, and in so doing, I would ensure that the threat to Israel will be diverted. And I know now that I made a mistake. If that's what you want should happen, then I can't stand in your way. So Yonah says, I recognize that I erred. That's how the Barbanel learns. And so I will go and do what you've said. And to an extent, this is the key point, according to many commentaries. The key point of the whole book of Yonah are these two words, Yeshuat al-Hashem. The salvation is up to God. We always have this duality in our lives. On the one hand, God wants us to work. God wants us to function. God wants us to act. V'chol ha-shehu oseh, Hashem atzlech biyado. Says by Yosef, whatever he did, God would bless. You do, I bless. Right? But you do. You don't do, I don't bless. Right? God expects us to do the maximum, and yet there's a certain level where we must have the recognition that success and failure is not contingent upon my attempts. I have to do the maximum attempts, and I have to recognize that there's a hand above that controls success and failure. Yeshuata l'Hashem, Yonah says. I recognize that the true success, that's in Hashem's hand. The salvation, whether the Jews will be saved or not, whether the Assyrians will be saved or not, that's in Hashem's hands. And when Yonah breaks, when Yonah recognizes, okay, I'm going to do what God wants of me in this world, Yomer Hashem ladag, God says to the fish, Vayaket Yonah leYabasha, spits Yonah out into the dry land, not into Nineveh. Yonah still has to live up to the challenge of going to Nineveh. What's perfect tshuva? We saw it in the Rambam. When you have a chance, an opportunity to make the same mistake, and you rectify it. Vayidvar Hashem el Yonah, sheinit lemo. So God comes a second time to Yonah and tells him, Kum lecha Nineveh ezo gdola ukra elea ta kriya, asher anochi dover elecha. Go up, go to Nineveh, the great city, call out to them that which I am saying to you. This time, Vayakom Yonah, vayelech en Nineveh kidvar Hashem. Yonah got up and went to Nineveh, the way Hashem said, v'Nineveh hayta ir gdola lelokim malach shlosht yamim. Nineveh was this great city. Took 3 days to traverse it. Bigger than New York City. Right? You could walk off New York in half a day. Yeah. How long does it take? From uptown to downtown? Ah, I meant Manhattan.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
One year from State now to Brown.
Ah, no. That not. I don't know.
Also, isn't it 12,000 adult men, like household holders? Okay. 12,000
No. But where'd you get 12,000 from? I didn't quote that medrash. I didn't say it. No. There is a medrash that way, but I didn't.
I thought the Rav said, like, we're at the beginning of the class, 12,000 men. Or 12,000 people.
I said 12,000 people, yeah.
I heard somebody help 12,000 at some point. Like,
yeah, there is a medrash that way. I didn't remember quoting it yet. Okay. Okay. When I did the overview of the class, because in the end, in the very end of the Navi, it says there are more than 12,000 men who don't know anything. It doesn't say that the city had 12,000 men. That's why I was surprised. Nineveh comes to the city, and the king of the city is a midget. You guys heard of this midget? This tall, and his maleness is longer than himself, right? Got a long beard down to the floor. His name is Pharaoh. He's lived a few hundred years now. He's a very, very, very old man. We have on tradition that when all the Egyptians sank at the sea, Pharaoh said, God, I know you're right, I know you're right, I admit you're right. God said, okay, I'll let you live. And I'll let you live, and you'll go and you'll tell the world what happened to you, because you didn't listen to me. And so Pharaoh lived a very long life. Pharaoh, in the days of Moshe, Moshe was 10 amos tall. Moshe was a 20-footer, unusually tall. And Pharaoh was 1 amos tall. We have on tradition also Nebuchadnezzar was very short, also an amos tall. Small, small man, but conquered the world, right? Pharaoh also ruled over the greatest empire, and we have on tradition he was this tall, little, little man. But he was a sorcerer, he was a top magician. I mean, he knew his stuff, and he was a big king. And you see that even though he lost his whole empire, he ends up being head of the Assyrian Empire, top empire of the time, right? They've already exiled half of Israel's empire, and they're about to exile most of the rest. All 10 tribes, they're going to exile. So he's a very accomplished person, this Pharaoh. And Yonah comes into the city and calls out, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. And the people of Nineveh believe. In walks a man who's been dipped in acid for a few hours. No eyelashes, no skin, no hair, flies flying all around him. And he was a sight for sore eyes. He can't stand in the sun for too long because just the mere fact that he's in the sun, the heat, and all the bugs that are coming to him. And the sailors see him. They say, Yonah, you're alive? And then they tell the people the story that happened. And when Yonah enters the city and Yonah starts talking, the people listen. They look at this man, half human at this point. He's already had his skin, his hair, everything's been burnt by acid. And he tells them, God sent me to tell you, in 40 days you're going to be overturned. They hear the sailor's story. They look at Yonah and they believe. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh be'elokim. They believed in God. Vayikru tzom. What's a tzom? Oh, very good. Tzom means unification. Tzom comes from the word tzomet, intersection. Tzom is when everyone gathers. Being that on fast days everyone used to gather, so that's why the nickname for a fast became a tzom. Really, a fast is a tanit, it's a day of fast. Tzom is a day of gathering. But being that the classical time gathering was for fast, so in modern Hebrew, tzom is a fast, and over here also, when it means they called the day of gathering, it was a day of gathering for fasting. They all wore sack. The king of Nineveh heard, the Midrash says, Yonah would talk, and God made his voice go over loudspeaker. They'd hear him throughout Nineveh. Everyone heard, the king hears, so he gets up from his throne, takes off his crown, wears sack, and sits in the dust with everyone else. ויזק ויומר בנינווה מטעם המלך וגדוליו למור, האדם והבהמה והבקר והצאן אלה יטמאו מאומה, יראו מים על ישתו. So he puts out an ordinance, a decree, no one's eating. In the capital, no human, no animal, no one's eating anything. No one's eating or drinking anything. ויתכסו שקים, האדם והבהמה, cover the men and the animals with sack, ויקראו לאלוהים בחוזקה, call out powerfully to God. וישובו, everyone has to repent from their evil ways. What evil ways? From their pagan ways? No. From their running men after men? No. What ways? From their stealing from one another. From their thievery. So what do? They start doing research. And they verify. The judges sit and they find out that this guy found something and he didn't know whose it was. They do research 4 generations back. Who did it belong to? What inheritors does he have left? Give it back to him. They open up all the public books to the point where they go to the king's castle and they start removing pillars from the castle. They say, this pillar, well, sorry, we've got to give it back. They do a real accounting. People start taking apart parts of their homes to give back what they stole. Yeah.
Oh.
So, the king was saying, everyone should be wailing. God is described, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. God has compassion over everything. When God describes the blessings He'll give the people of Israel, what do we say in Shema? He'll give food for our animals, He'll give food for ourselves. When God gives the Jewish people in the desert water, what does it say? He gave water for them, their children, and their animals. Right? God cares over all creatures. We are supposed to also have a fondness for God's creatures. You'll notice that all of our leaders were tested by their behavior to animals. Right? David, Moshe, Yaakov. God looks and how a person behaves not only to his family member, not only to his religion member, not only to his homo sapien member, but even to the animals. And they knew that if everyone's wailing, A, it'll get the people more moved. You see, the animals are thirsting. Everyone's wailing moves the town. And also they turned to God and they said, have mercy on us. We're all asking for mercy. They called out powerfully, the pasuk says. I'm with you.
In regards to Hamas, it just gives me echoes of Parashat Noah.
Correct. That's so you see over here that they knew that the reason they were going to be destroyed was like in the time of Noah. Very good. Just like in the time of the flood, because of the thievery. That was the point that got God upset at them. And so they knew, if we want to undo our decree, we have to go back from thievery. We have to live peacefully. And this is another powerful point in the book of Yonah. What is the rabbi called in the book of the Kuzari? There's a the king of Kuzar, and he's talking to the Chaver. Not Chacham, Chaver. What do we call a person who abides by the laws the way he should? The laws of Truma, Maiser, Tuma, Tahara. We call him a Chaver. What does the word Chaver mean? From the word Chibur. Chaver is a friend. From the word Chibur, connect. When we want to say someone's doing what he should, what he's living his life the way he should, we describe him as a Chaver. One of Rabbi Yochanan's students, when asked, what's the way to live life? You want to know what's the perfect way? I need a formula, you know, a sound bite in one sentence. Summarize, what's the key to living a proper life according to Judaism? One of the students came back and said, Chaver Tov, be a good friend. Think about it. What does it mean to be a friend, to connect? Shalom, Shalem, not peace, but whole. Shalom, Shalem. Shalom is God's name. Chaver is a person who's on a level where he's learning God's Torah and he's a good friend. He can connect with you. There was a story in a yeshuv here just outside Jerusalem that the rabbi comes in and he sees everyone with a scowl on their face. Yeah. They're all upset. So the rabbi asked them, what are you upset about? They said, our neighbor so-and-so is in prison. So the rabbi asked them, why is he in prison? So they said, he was caught dealing in drugs. And everyone was upset. They wanted to have nothing to do with him, or the kids, or anything. So the rabbi said, are you guys his friends? Silence. Were you his friends yesterday? Yes. Well, if you were his friends yesterday, then you're supposed to be his friends when he's in prison too. Maybe he's done something wrong. I'm not giving legitimacy to what he's done. But if the man's in prison, you can't just say we have nothing to do with him. Wait, what's the story behind why he was dealing in drugs? Again, no one's saying he did right. But the story is as follows. Someone asked him to co-sign a loan. Co-signed the loan. $300,000. The guy left the country. He gets a knock on the door, and the lenders come and say, your friend owes us $300,000. He says, well, what do you want me to do? I don't have money right now. They tell him, you have a daughter? You might be saying that same sentence about her tomorrow morning. The guy had taken the loan from the mafia. And they told him, if you value your family, you're going to take care to bring us the money. And he said, what do you guys want from me? I don't have the money yet. I can't pay you. And they said, well, here. They gave him the drugs, and they wanted him to peddle. And when he tried to sell, it was an undercover cop. And he was put in jail for years. No one's saying what he did was right. But you know, very tough call. No one's saying what he did was right. But it's a different picture than the community thought. And even if he had done what they thought he had done. But are you his friend? So then he did something wrong. Be there for him. Figure out how to help him out. What's a chaver tov, a good friend? Why is it so valued by Hashem? Why did Hashem say, I'm going to destroy all of humanity in the time of the flood? Sodom and Amorah. And now the city of Nineveh, because they did the antithesis of being a good friend. They were stealing from one another. The thievery is what Hashem said, I can't handle. Thievery? Then you don't deserve to exist. Why is it that the Dor HaPalaga, that generation that built the Tower of Babel, they existed? Because they were unified. All for one. Their cause was unholy, but they were unified. They were unified around the cause. So God said, it's not good. Can't let them continue with this cause. It will be the destruction of humanity. But they're unified. No one gets killed. What they did might have been worse than the generation of the flood in certain respects. But they were unified. Hashem says, fine. No one died. They were scattered. Hashem said they have to develop society differently. We'll resolve the issue. But no one died. The people of Nineveh recognized the weight of what they've done wrong. They recognize that what God wants of them is to undo the thievery, and that's the only area where they do tshuva. מיודה ישוב וניחם אלוהים ושב מחרון אפו ולא נבד. Whoever knows should repent, and then maybe God will take it back, and his anger will cease, and we won't be lost. So they're doing all these external actions. And they're also doing some internal actions. They're fasting. They're wearing sack. The king took off his crown. They're putting the animals in fasting mode. And what does it say? Vayara Elohim et ma'aseihem ki shavu midarkam ha'ra'ah. God looked at their actions, that they changed their actions. God doesn't look at the externals. A person thinks, I'll stand on Yom Kippur and I'll pour out tears for 3 hours straight. Okay, good for you if you mean it. A person thinks, I'll shuckle and daven along Shmona Esrei. Good for you if you mean it. They had the whole city wailing. Animals, humans, adults, children, everyone was wailing. That's not what moved Hashem. What moved Hashem was that they became better people. And so, Vayinachem Elohim al ha'ra'ah asher dibar la'asot lahem velo asa. God said, okay, so we won't overturn Nineveh. Every time God gives us a prophecy, it has multiple interpretations. It's up to us to define which interpretation will come true. God said Nineveh has 40 days to be overturned. They overturned their actions. So that was a certain fulfillment of the prophecy. And so the city was not physically overturned. Yonah has been going around the city warning them. And now the people are repenting. Vayera el Yonah ra'a gedola vayichar lo. Yonah felt very badly. He is Ben Amitai. His essence is truth. And now, everything he said isn't coming true. It's not going to come true. They're going to degrade the prophecy. Yonah sinks into depression. And Yonah can't understand God's ways. You'll notice that a common theme to the 12 minor books is this difficulty. How could it be that the 12 short books, the Treyasar, revolve around this question? How are we to understand God's ways? From the first book, Hosea, where Hosea turns to God and says, why do you stick to these people, the Jews? You know, enough with them. They're not faithful. Take another nation. And the rest of the book is a conversation revolving around that. Through the books where we have Habakkuk, where Habakkuk openly questions God and draws a circle in the sand and says, I'm not stepping out till you explain to me, how could it be that the people who murdered Jews are going to have it good? How could it be that so many Jews are going to be murdered, raped, plundered, and all the people who did all these evil deeds are going to have it good? Draws a circle in the sand, stands in the circle and says, God, I'm not walking out till you answer me. That's the book of Habakkuk. God's answer and then Habakkuk's apology. He begs Hashem forgiveness for having spoken that way. And now Yonah. Yonah says, God, I don't understand. Pagans, they're still pagans. Men running after men, they're still doing that. They're doing all the immoral things. They corrected one thing, and now that's okay, fine. My people, the Jews, you hold the task over who knows what. These people, they corrected one thing. And now you're okay with them? Why? And so Yonah is so upset, he sinks into depression. He's depressed. And what happens when a person's depressed? He wants to die. Yonah thought he understood God's ways. Yonah's first error was in thinking he knows what God wants. So if he knows what God wants, even though God said one way, he'll do the other way. And now Yonah's repeating the error on a higher level. He's not actively doing something different, but he's upset. He's saying, God, I don't understand. How could you let them get away with this? And he's so upset that he figures, what's life worth living? I don't see the fairness in God's ways, and if I can't understand it, and I see that they're still serving their idols, they didn't do tshuva on so many things, I thought they should do tshuva, and yet Hashem, you took away the decree. Yeah. Good question. If Lavan serves idols, how could he have Nebuah? He had a Chalom. No, and what do we encounter here? When does God talk to him? Is it Nebuah or is it in the dream? He faints. It's not a Nebuah. This isn't the Nebuah he had before. You're right. It's not on the same level. It's when he faints that he sees a vision of prophecy. What Nebuah do we see here when Yonah is so sad? It says Veitanah. Pasuk Chet. Right? Which? Good question. I don't know on what level that was. I don't know. Okay. So Yonah wants to die, and Yonah feels that he can't understand God's ways. If they've done the most heinous of crimes, they're pagans, and who knows if they're burning their children alive, and God had said he'll punish them, and God is willing to accept this type of tshuva, Yonah has an issue now. And so he says, how could it be you're going to destroy my people, the Jews, over their idol worship, and the people of Nineveh, you're willing to forgo their idol worship? And so, vayera liyonah ra'a gdola, vayichalo, he felt terrible. He knew that now that God had forgiven the people of Ashur, the next step is going to be the Holocaust that really ensued. The Assyrian Empire advances upon the Jews and destroys millions. Some are murdered, some intermarry, but millions of Jews are lost, finished, gone forever. And Yonah knows this is all going to happen thanks to what he did, and the people of Nineveh didn't even do a full repentance, the people of Ashur. Yeah?
Is it all connected? Because
what?
Yeah.
How come these are sinking and these are rising? Okay, right? That's a good point. Someone else want to say something? Yeah.
Mine's a much longer thing, so I'm
okay.
Rather,
okay. So Yonah says to Hashem, he davens, and he says, "Veitpalel el Hashem vayomah." He davens to Hashem and he says, "Ana Hashem, please Hashem alozet dvariad al deyoti al admati." That's what I said initially. Al ken kidamti livoach tashisha. That's why I ran away. He says, you know, when back in the beginning. I knew he might forgive them. And then I knew they'd destroy the Jewish people. So he says, you know, God, that's why I didn't want to go in the first place. Now, what did I do? What type of life have I led? I caused the destruction of the Jewish people. So Yonah says, God, let me die. I'm better off dead than alive. I didn't even succeed. What did I do? They didn't do a full tshuva. They got forgiven, and they're going to come destroy the Jews. So Yonah says, God, let me go. V'ata Hashem kachnat nafshi mimeni ki tov moti mechayai. V'yomer Hashem. So God says to him, ha-hetev charalach? Are you really so upset? I think we're going to pause here and pick up here in 5 minutes. Take a break. Take a breather. Thank you.